Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
The next time you take out your Black Cat peanut butter or Gold tomato sauce, well, bear in mind that these are brands that are made by the likes of Tiger Brands, including your Jungle Oats. And they've delivered a strong set of earnings for their financial year, which ended towards the end of September this year. Companies saw an improvement in overall revenue, up by more than 2%. Gross margin also increasing to 31%. And overall, seeing a heightened level of resilience when it comes to milling and baking as a key division. To talk us through some of these key metrics, what's working in their numbers, and of course, what keeps the business going, we're joined by Tushen Govender. He is the CFO of Tiger Brands. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Govender. I can imagine, as a numbers man who's been in various roles and positions at Tiger Brands, this must be quite fulfilling to actually see the business turning a significant corner in terms of its financial performance this year. Talk to us about the key metrics of growth.
Good evening, Gugu, and thank you for having me on the show, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, absolutely. It's been an exceptional year for us. We've made great progress on strategic initiatives, as well as the operational turnaround that you've seen in our results. We spoke to the market about 2 years ago about our portfolio honing strategy, where we want to exit non-core businesses or businesses that don't meet our required financial metrics. And you would have seen in the past 2 years, we've made great progress in disposing of these non-core business units. Mm-hmm. More recently, the Chilean subsidiary, as well as the Lungeberg and Ashton fruit canning business. And then as you can see in our earnings announcement, we are awaiting a tribunal approval for the disposal of our maize operations. Mm. So from a strategic perspective, the focus on delivering against these initiatives has really been well received by the market, and I think it's been exceptional performance by the team all around. Mm. And moving on to the operational results, as you pointed out, really great performance, revenue growth up, volume growth up, and as you can see, that's also delivered on margin improvement across our gross margin and our operating margin. That volume growth has aided us in creating some operating leverage in the profit in the P&L, and reduced our unit costs, production costs, and as a consequence, you've seen that margin improvement. Mm. It's also important to point out, Gugu, in this year that's passed, we've also ramped up our brand and marketing investment,
yes,
supporting those brands with great marketing campaigns that our consumers know and love. So we haven't pulled back on that. We're investing hard behind our brands. And as you can see, we've seen the results. And maybe just to close out on this first point, given the strong cash generation, the great operating performance, we've declared a record dividend. You would have seen the special dividend of 4 billion rand announced to the market. In total this year, ordinary dividends as well as special dividends in the first half and second half amount to about 8.3 billion rand. So as I said right up front, it's been an exceptional year.
It definitely has been an exceptional year, and perhaps I want to follow through with the theme that you touched on regarding the portfolio consolidation. It does seem as though there's a strong effort to streamline the business and, I guess, reduce the number of pillars that you're working in, but also letting go of operations that perhaps haven't been very fruitful. Talk to us about that, especially from a consumer point of view. I'm a fan of jelly tots, licorice all sorts, and wine gums. Beacon is one of those particular brands that I understand earlier this year you had mentioned that you will be disposing of. Maybe talk to us about that dynamic. What are some of the drivers in terms of this particular decision? And in a country where we're seeing a lot of consolidation and M&A activity in the FMCG space, what kind of opportunities this presents for you?
So Google, let me start with the first part of that question and how we arrived at the segments that we wanted to dispose of or we considered non-core. About 2 years ago, we looked across our business units and really analyzed each of the business units from a qualitative perspective and from a quantitative perspective. Mm-hmm. Qualitatively, we looked at our market shares, we looked at our brand equity, and ultimately our right to win into the future. And then from a quantitative perspective, we looked at the margins these business units deliver, the required investment on capital, as well as the return on this invested capital that we would receive. And for pulling together this qualitative and quantitative analysis, we then took a view on whether these are portfolios we want to remain in. And that's how we ended up with these non-core portfolios that I called out earlier that we want to dispose of. So this allows management to ultimately focus on core operations and deliver the great result you've seen in this past year, as opposed to being distracted by operations that are non-core to Tiger Brands.
Mm-hmm.
And from an M&A perspective, inorganic growth is tough in the backdrop of these economic conditions. So in the future, we will certainly consider mergers, potential acquisitions, that is, to grow our portfolio. But right now, I think we're still solidifying our foundation. There's great organic growth to be had from our businesses, together with our brand strategies, our product tiering strategies. I think there's still a long way for us to go to extract organic growth from the business, Google. So ultimately, no rush to go out there and buy something, and we expect that the core business will continue to deliver.
Got you. From a consumer point of view, what's happening in home and personal care, having reported a 3.8% decrease in revenue?
So that particular category faced some challenges from a supply perspective, Google. As you know, there's two strong brands in that portfolio. From a home care perspective, it's the Doom business really that drives the home care portfolio, and that's our aerosol pesticides. Mm. And from a personal care perspective, it's the Ingram's camphor range. So ultimately, in the first half of the year, which is typically the summer season, our pest season, we ran out of supply of cans, and we've now rectified that with finding an offshore supplier at a better price point.
If I may obviously jump in there, part of the dynamics ahead, that please. We do see within the aluminium and steel production point of view, where we don't have local suppliers or providers of aluminium cans?
The challenge was really with one of our local suppliers that had some maintenance challenges in their business, and one of the plants had stopped working during the season.
Mm.
So it wasn't as a consequence of aluminium supply. Okay. It was really the plant that converted that aluminium to aerosol cans that had the challenge. Gotcha. And therefore, we had to mitigate that risk by finding alternative supply. And we were quite fortunate to find alternative supply at a better price. So given that impact to the business during the season, you've seen that decline that you called out. The other important point to make here, Gugu, is in the prior numbers, we have the revenue of a business that we sold, which we call the baby well-being business. That's the old Elizabeth Ann's business.
Mm.
So that's obviously inflating the base. If I were to back that out, we have seen marginal growth in both revenue and operating income.
Mm-hmm.
And had it not been for the supply challenges, I'm sure it would have been quite an acceptable performance for the year.
Okay, makes sense. I was just trying to see if there is any kind of link to what we do see within the resource space and the processing of some of these metals and minerals that we have in the country. Tushin, is there any clarity and if you're able to quantify, the settlements for the 200 individuals impacted by the listeriosis case and also what learnings have come out of that particular dilemma?
Mm. So, Google, on the listeriosis case, you would have seen earlier this year, we offered a settlement to the urgent need consumers where they have urgent medical needs. We weren't legally obliged to do that, but in the interest of our consumers, we worked together with our insurers who actually leads the legal case, and we've agreed to a settlement for urgent needs cases.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we working furiously behind the scenes together with our insurers, that QBE, who leads this process,
mm-hmm.
and all parties are at the table and trying to work out a settlement in its entirety. And obviously that goes through a few rounds and processes. But I can say, versus a few years ago, this past year, we've made great progress, and we continue to do so.
Got you. To close off with, we know that this has been a beautiful recovery that we've witnessed in 2025 for the South African economy. Lower interest rates, lower inflation target, does seem as though there's a lot more confidence and buoyancy within our fiscal and monetary direction as part of the growing pains of the GNU. But despite that, international volatility still remains. I'm quite keen to get your outlook statement, both for investors but also for us as consumers, to ensure that the reliance of the brands and products that we've become so used to having in our homes from Tiger Brands is going to maintain with the level of consistency and maybe even growth.
Gugu, we are certainly seeing green shoots in our economy with the interest rate reduction, with the renewed focus on infrastructure and rectifying, or shall we say, fixing some of that infrastructure, be it port, rail, or electricity. As we all know, these have all been topical issues, mm-hmm. and you've seen renewed focus from the... And we're confident that in time, that will benefit the economy even further. But I think it's important to point out, it's still early days. We haven't seen the full benefit of these initiatives, and in time it will come. With the reduced interest rates and the lower inflation, obviously our consumers are going to benefit from that. But you've got to appreciate, it remains a tough economy with high unemployment rates. And as a consequence, our consumers remain under pressure. But as Tiger, we appreciate that the consumers are still under pressure. And you would have seen in the earlier results presentation, I spoke to our continuous improvement plans, where we're looking at recipes, conversion costs at our facilities, lightweighting of our packaging, improving our cost to serve from a logistics perspective. And we are identifying all of these initiatives so that we can invest behind price and ensure that our products and those well-loved brands that you call out mm-hmm. are still relevant for our consumers and affordable. So we're very mindful of the tough space our consumers find themselves in. We want to ensure that our brands live on into the future and remain relevant to our consumers, and therefore investing behind price points to drive affordability remains top of mind, Google.
100%. Next time we enjoy Tastic Rice, Black Cat Peanut Butter, Mrs. Balls, Purity and Albany. These are some of the themes that we'll continue to remember in terms of your provision at Tiger Brands. Thank you again for your time. That's the Chief Financial Officer of Tiger Brands, Tushin Govinda.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.